Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to another Monday where we can laugh about how bad our football teams are. Just another waste of a Sunday afternoon. How you doing? It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan for the next 4.5 hours. Busy show. The great Joe Beningo will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll jump into the top 10 of 25 and 25, the most memorable New York sports moments of the year that was, and our reaction to the Mets making the move of signing Jorge Polanco, and why I do not believe Michael King will be a New York Yankee. But there are some things I learned watching the New York Jets and the New York Giants, and one of the things I learned, Tiki, may seem obvious to many people listening, but I feel stronger about it today at 2:02 on December 15th. As the Giants lost to the Washington Commanders, and there were all sorts of bad, disgusting things that would bother a Giant fan, I come away even more reinforced in my opinion that Joe Shane cannot return, and I will tell you why very quickly.
Go ahead.
The Giants may pick number one. It is absolutely on the table that they're going to have the number one overall pick. And you have an opinion about Jackson Dart versus drafting a quarterback. I have an opinion on Jackson Dart versus drafting a quarterback. But I would want the most independent eyes to make a decision that big. And I don't believe someone who's been here for a few years, including the person that drafted Jackson Dart, can make that fair decision. Because I know that sounded crazy a month ago when I brought it up for the first time. Would you trade Dart and take a quarterback? If you're picking number one overall and your team sucks yet again, Everything needs to be on the table. And if everything's on the table, we need independent eyes to make as big of a decision as trading the number one overall pick or using it to select a quarterback and moving off of Jackson Dart. So I'm telling you, Teak, forget the grading. I understand it. It's not all Shane's fault. This is one of the biggest decisions a franchise can make, and I need someone else making the call.
You know, I hear what you're saying, Ev, but there's no way that I'm ready to move off of Jackson Dart. There's not a chance that Fernando Mendoza or Diego Pavia or any of these quarterbacks, Ty Simpson or whoever it may be coming out in this year's draft, to me is going to be better than Jackson Dart. I know that Jackson Dart has the it. He has the leadership qualities. He has the skill set, the arm talent, all those things that you talk about in order to be a star in this league. So I hear what you're saying, but that's not something that is even crossing my mind at this point. So with all due respect to making the decision at number one, I think that the Giants have so much more that they need to do other than quarterback that it's not even a question what the current or future general manager is going to need to do.
But you know what? Here's the problem. That answer is the problem, Teak. You're not even thinking about it, and I don't blame you. I'm not mad at you for thinking that way, because I bet you Sean's going to say the same thing, and Tommy's going to say the same thing, and I get it. I love Jackson Dart. I'm in love with him. I'm as in love with him as you are. But when you are picking number one, which is, again, on the table for the first time in 60 years. It's not like picking number one overall is a common thing. They haven't done it since 1965. You almost need the most independent eyes. And I think that you, Sean, Tommy, and most Giant fans aren't independent because you're in love. Okay, just so like I'm not either.
Okay, but Evan, what do you think is going to happen? You think that Joe Shane's going to make a bad decision on who to take number one, or let's say they move back to number six.
Right.
They move back and he's going to make a bad decision. He's not picking a quarterback. It's almost, I don't want to say it protects him, but it does protect him because you're not trying to pick your franchise most important player. You know what I mean? It's different if you're picking the quarterback in this year's draft and you screw up and end up taking Ty Simpson instead of Fernando Mendoza, and all of a sudden you get criticized or crucified because you made the wrong QB pick. I don't see that as the issue going into this draft following this disastrous season that the Giants are currently going through.
The issue is it's not even going to be considered. That's the issue. The issue is, look, if you ask me, I want to make it very clear. If you said, all right, Evan, IFO the hell out of this thing, what would you do if you're picking number one overall? I agree with you. I'd probably trade the pick. I'm saying you have a GM that's going to have a biased answer on this because he drafted Jackson Dart himself. And I think that you need a good football man as head coach, as GM, to look fairly and without emotion at Jackson Dart, at the quarterback pieces that are available via the draft. Obviously, Fernando Mendoza is the guy with the most attention, and make the best decision for the franchise moving forward. Because I remember back in 2020, after Daniel Jones had a good rookie season, and yes, it was a maligned draft pick, but I think his success that year, not team success, but the individual success and potential of Daniel Jones, led Giant fans to say, okay, I think we have our guy. And did they consider, with as high of a pick as they had, moving off of Daniel and drafting Justin Herbert? Did they? And I think that if you had not Dave Gettleman making the decision, you know, the guy who drafted Daniel Jones, the decision could have been different. And I think when you go through the combine and you go through everything else, when you're picking number one overall and you're coming off a year in which maybe you win two games, you have to look at every possibility. And I think that the Giant fan, most Giant fans, not all, and Joe Shane are not going to look at every possibility. They're going to simply say, Dart's our guy, let's just trade the pick. Do you think that's responsible?
Well, I know what you're getting at. But to me, this is not a question about quarterback indecisiveness with Jackson Dart going forward. I think there's only room for him to grow. Now, there are some stats that are, I don't know, let's call them disconcerting, like balls down the field over 10 yards. He's one of the worst in the NFL. Part of that's just because guys like Darius Slayton and Theo Johnson have had issues with drops all season long. But there is nothing that worries me currently about Jackson Dart other than what we've already talked about with him. That is, taking too many shots. I mean, he got removed unnecessarily and ridiculously from the game yesterday after getting his neck bent out of shape. But and while it didn't result in a concussion, he did miss two downs. Jameis Winston had to come in cold and try to complete two downs on second and two from the two-yard line. And so I get what the Jackson Dart concern is, but it is not. He's not the guy.
I think that part you just brought up is also a part of this discussion, and we should furtherly get into. That may be ready for Idiots and Idioms on Friday. And that is this going to be a scarlet letter that follows this kid throughout his career? He goes down, they're going to put him in protocol?
They can't. They can't.
Well, it happened yesterday.
I know, but Evan, you saw it. It affected the game. Right, Jameis Winston can't do all those things that Jackson Dart does. I'm not knocking Jameis Winston at all because he's a good backup quarterback. But if you want to move the pocket, you want to maybe do a QB, a designed QB run, you can't do any of those things. And so they end up not scoring a touchdown there because Jackson Dart misses second and third down, comes back for fourth, and it's just an ineffective throw, ineffective play call. So, I mean, those type of things, they concern me. Because I feel like there's a narrative about him that is a little bit unfair. I know he's been checked, seven times for concussions? He's only been in protocol once. So I get you're protecting him, but this might need to be chilled out a little bit.
Well, and it's one thing for fans.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
To be freaking out about it, it's another thing if he's going to get buzzed down every single game.
Right.
And it feels like you said he's been in the tent seven times and he's actually...
It's absurd.
It kind of is. Look, I'll agree with the conspiracy theorist Giant fans that when he was pulled off the field in that sequence, I'm still looking at my TV screaming, this is BS. Like, what are we doing now?
Right.
But this is also a part of the thing you have to think about when evaluating Jackson Dart. See, here's the way I would do this. And you are the fairest at doing it. Take your emotions out, though, because that's the problem. Talking to Giant fans who are already in love with Jackson Dart, your emotion's not out of it. Mm-hmm. You have to look at all the positives and the negatives of Dart and compare him to who is in this quarterback class. And that's how you make that decision. Because you can't just base it on what you've seen over a 9 or 10 or 11 game span. You have to look at the future and say, do I project he to be better than anyone else in this draft? If the answer is yes, then obviously keep him, trade off the pick.
Yeah.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, I think the question is, you're asking, is it even a conversation that they're having?
Well, I'll tell you right now, and it's one thing for you guys to say I'm crazy. If it's not a conversation, that's completely irresponsible. I mean, are we kidding ourselves?
I mean,
we are so sold on someone after 9 games, we won't have a conversation. Forget about trading him. We won't have a conversation? Like, that is actually ridiculous if that's the case.
Well, do you think that this was the case with Caleb Williams last year when they fired Matt Eberflus, and even though Ryan Pace kept his job, there were still calls for his head a little bit because of how it had been managed over the last few years. So when they fired Eberflus and then hired your guy from Detroit.
My guy.
your wrist guy, Ben Johnson, from Detroit. There was no doubt that Caleb Williams...
They weren't picking number one overall. They were picking like 10th overall. Like, there's
true,
a difference when you're picking... It's the same thing in Tennessee, by the way. If they get the number one overall pick, they shouldn't have discussions about do we continue to believe in Cam Ward or do we take another quarterback? Like, it's one thing to disagree with moving off of Jackson Dart, because I'm actually in your camp. I would move off of him. Right. But it is another thing to say it's not a conversation. That's insanity to me. Not a conversation.
There's certain picks that you get. There's certain guys that you draft, and they just feel like the right guy. They feel like they check all the boxes. And to me, Jackson Dart does that. And I know there's some frustration with him. I know he's had a particularly bad first half yesterday. And so it just makes you question what we think we already know. But to me, I think he's only going to grow. He's only going to get better. He's so much more ahead of where some of these other really good, Caleb Williams, for example, was when he was a rookie, that I feel like resetting only creates the advantage of having a new coach, potentially a new GM, and a new quarterback all at the same time.
But by the way, and that's the other thing to keep in mind here. We know there's going to be a new head coach. The jury remains out on the general manager. I know you believe that he will come back. There are some that believe he will come back, will be a part of this search. And then there are others, certainly a lot of Giant fans, who don't want him to come back.
Right.
We think there should be a new general manager. Having a brand new administration from top to bottom will give you the most independent view on this situation than someone who selected the quarterback. Like, one of the arguments for Joe Shane to stay when we were doing all the grading was that he drafted Jackson Dart. So obviously that guy isn't going to move on from him. And remember, when new guys take over, we hear this all the time and it drives me nuts, but it's real. Well, they didn't draft that guy. They don't have a loyalty to that guy. They didn't bring that guy in. You'd be doing the exact same thing, which is why you got to consider all possible options if this team is picking number one overall.
Yeah, I hear you. You're right in a sense.
Of course I'm right.
I don't even want to hear it. And I don't think Giant fans want to hear that at all.
But
I
don't want to hear it. I'm going to stop you right now.
But Sean, that's the problem you two guys are having.
No.
I'm not even saying to trade him. That's all you're hearing. No, Evan said trade him. I didn't say that. I said consider all options when you're picking number one overall.
But Evan, all we've heard for the last month since Brian Daboll's
been
fired.
Are you sick over there?
I'm not sick. I have a one monotone voice, which the audience might appreciate today because you're not going to get squeaky, Sean, at any point in time. When you're at a Saturday night Ranger game and they score on a penalty shot, you lose your voice for 2 days. Apparently, that's the lesson I've learned. Okay, here's the deal.
In addition to screaming at the Giants.
Yeah, there was a lot going on yesterday. Evan. All we've heard for a month is how the Giants are going to be the most highly coveted job by a head coach. Did you watch their tackling yesterday? Did you watch, their right tackle getting burned by Von Miller all day? You know why they're attractive? Not because of the roster that continues to put out losses. They're attractive because they've already checked a box a head coach doesn't have to worry about. They have a quarterback people believe in. And if you want to say don't anoint him yet, that's a different conversation. Guess what you could do? Play the quarterback with the new GM and coach who obviously want the job because of him. And if he proves to have been a nine-hit wonder, then next year you're in the market. Why would you do this 1 year after when you have so many other holes?
You didn't hear a word I said.
I did.
No.
You said consider all options.
No, I'm saying I have another kind of rock on the fire of why that's wrong, too.
Log on the fire.
I have another log on the fire to why Joe Shane can't come back. That's my view of this. I want the most independent eyes to view this situation.
Sure.
I'm not hiring somebody based on if they tell me what I want to hear. I'm hiring the best people for the job. And if, let's say, that best person for the job is Mike Tomlin and him bringing someone from the Steelers organization to be the general manager, and they look at this draft, and they look at the number one overall pick, and they look at Mendoza and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to draft a quarterback. We're going to move off of Dart. I would want that person to be able to make that decision.
Okay.
What you guys are telling me is the decision's already made. Well, don't bring it up. Well, if I'm hiring a new GM and a new head coach, which they should be doing, and you agree they should be doing, wouldn't you want them to make the decisions?
So, like, what you're saying makes sense, except it doesn't. You have lived the Jets fan life. Would you say the hardest thing in football is to find a franchise quarterback in the draft?
Of course.
Okay. Would you say that anybody with two eyes looking at the Giants situation would say it's more likely than not that Jackson Dart's a franchise quarterback? Would you agree with that?
I think he's got a chance to be really good in this league. Yes, I like him.
So why the hell would I hire a general manager knowing how hard that is to do that already goes, you know what, I'm going to move on here after this.
Because what if they like the guy available number one overall more? Is that not possible?
I mean,
the guy who just won the Heisman?
You're just getting on Fernando Mendoza. Didn't he seem really nerdy, though?
He did seem very nerdy.
It was awesome.
This is such a personal subject for all of you that you're not even listening to the fact that I would not personally trade Jackson Dart. I would personally want to hire a general manager who makes the freaking decision. That's my point. My point is, I am not keeping Joe Shane, who has an inherent bias to keeping the guy who keeps him his job.
Nobody wants that.
So then that's the point.
My point is, I find it hard to believe when you get a pool of general managers that are going to want this job, that out of all of the general manager candidates, the seemingly best one is going to be the one that decides, you know what, I really like Mendoza over Dart. I have a hard time thinking that would be the guy. And I think all ties are going to go to the guy that looks at the situation and goes, oh, wait, I don't have to worry about my first year taking a quarterback, and instead I could take the number one overall pick and move it for Hall. I trust that guy because Halls have worked for teams like the Bears and the Lions in rebuilding it. I want that guy to be my general manager, not some guy who parachutes in and goes, well, give me Mendoza now. That's so ridiculous.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up, 888-808-1019, and I understand that Giant fans are very emotional about it. All it is you need to be open-minded. I think I said this last week about Francisco Lindor. I don't want to trade Francisco Lindor, but I'm open-minded, and I think when you are the New York Giants who are about to have a 2 or 3 win season, and Jackson Dart does look good. I like Jackson Dart, but I'm going to have the number one overall pick potentially for the first time in 50 years. The idea of shutting down conversations about all possibilities, including taking a quarterback and trading Jackson Dart, that's the crazy part. That's the crazy part. Shutting down conversations? I'm sorry. If you go 2-15, everything should be on the table. Everything should be on the table. So we'll get to it coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus, Aaron Glenn made a huge decision on Monday. What do we think of it? I appreciate this email I just got from Jim. Jim at least heard what I said, which is just be open-minded. But his response was, I'm right there with you, Ev. Here's the plan. Hire Nico Harrison as the GM, trade Jackson Dart, and then draft the dork, and change the logo to a plane. Hey, everything's on the table, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
That made me laugh.
That is fantastic, though. Listen, you guys were bad. You guys were worse yesterday, Evan.
Oh, my God. The New York Jets were an unwatchable mess. And what was so disheartening was I went into this game, T, thinking, all right, let's give Brady Cook a chance. And one of the ways he'll get a chance is by not entering a game and trailing immediately. Mm-hmm. And think about it. Jacksonville wins the coin toss, elects to take the football,
right.
Immediately scores a touchdown, and here's Brady Cook right away down 7-0. 5 minutes later, they're down 14-0.
It's funny. I always believe that when a team wins the toss and takes the football, it is the ultimate sign of disrespect. Like, we don't believe that you have any chance to get up against us, and we are just putting our foot on the metal, pedal to the metal from jump. And that's exactly what they did.
1,000%, because think about it. Why do you care about who gets the ball to start the second half when the game will be over before
exactly
the second half starts?
Right. Exactly right.
It does not matter.
31-7, it's exactly what it was.
WFN NFL football is powered by Verizon. As far as Aaron Glenn's decision earlier today, and it was interesting, maybe it was because I wasn't on social media. I didn't see any rumor that they would fire Steve Wilks, just conjecture from fans that they should fire Steve Wilks. And Aaron was asked about it after the game on Sunday and said everything's going to be evaluated, but certainly didn't tell you he was going to fire Steve Wilks. And he opened his press conference by announcing they've removed defensive coordinator Steve Wilks.
Right.
And it's good and it's bad. The good is I like the fact that Aaron Glenn has mostly stuck to his word of holding people accountable, right, whether it's players or coaches. So that part's good. What's bad, Teak, is that he hired Steve Wilks.
Yeah, Steve Wilks is an interesting case because I feel like he has this propensity to fail forward. We all know that he was one of the first that we can remember of one-and-done coaches when he was with the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, you kind of chalk that up to a bad organization. They had a rough general manager situation going on at that point. And, you know, it felt like, yeah, it wasn't fully his fault. But then he goes and gets another defensive coordinator job, and he's done in a year. And he gets an interim job, he's done in a year. It just feels like he's had a lot of failure in his career, yet he keeps getting opportunities. And watching that game yesterday, because I didn't watch it live, I was obviously at the Giants game, but watching it back, it felt so boring watching that defense. It was almost like they weren't trying, Evan. And when that happens, I think that players are quitting on you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They don't have faith or belief in you. And Aaron Glenn honestly had zero choice but to do what he did this morning.
More on the Jets in a little bit, including a very important lesson I learned from watching that slop on Sunday. But we'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Yesterday's game reinforcing the possibility the Giants may pick number one overall, to me, just reinforces I need a new general manager, because every possibility needs to be on the table if I'm picking number one overall. Let's kick it off with Glenn in Clifton, New Jersey. What's up, Glenn?
Good afternoon, guys. Tiki,
what's
you're
up,
wrong. Dude? Evan is 100% right. There's got to be a conversation. Evan, let's have the conversation. Thank you. That was a great conversation. We're done. Are you out of your mind?
I like
number
that,
one
Glenn.
Pick guarantees nothing. Just
I like the
Tennessee.
Swerve. I like the swerve.
You like that?
Yeah, you swerved me very good. Look, the number one pick guarantees you nothing. You're 1,000% right. And I like Fernando Mendoza, just like I like Jackson Dart. Now, if you
like him because he's a nerd, Evan. That's exactly why
I also
like him.
Like him because he's good at football, and the Indiana program, which has never been known for football, has a chance to win a national championship.
And a lot of it is because of him.
Yes.
And it's what he does, how he galvanizes his teammates. Like, he has those leadership qualities. It's not typical macho man, golden-haired quarterback, but it's kind of good, right? It's worked is the most important thing.
He has a chance. Like, this is my most basic opinion on Dart and Mendoza. And I don't care how smart you are, no one knows the answer. You could be the greatest GM in the world. Ryan Leaf went number two overall. None of us can project the future. So I'm just going to tell you right now, from watching what I've watched from Mendoza and watching the rookie year of Jackson Dart, I think both guys have a chance to be in that 7-15 range as the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't think they're number one. I don't think they're top five. I think both guys have a real chance to kind of be in that 7-15 range. I don't know what Joe Shane views. I don't know what Mike Tomlin views. I don't know what Mike McCarthy views. But I know that those away from this program will have a fair kind of belief on how they view both of these quarterbacks and what the better decision would be. So when I say a conversation, it's Joe Shane can't have the conversation. Like, there's no world where the returning GM, whose resume is mostly riddled with D's, and his 1A is Jackson Dart, is trading the A. If we could at least meet in the middle on that basic idea that Joe Shane will not even have that kind of conversation, then that reinforces he shouldn't be the GM next year.
Yeah, but there's so many question marks at quarterback around the NFL. I mean, look at the Indianapolis Colts, who at one point were 8-2. Now they're 8-6 after losing a bunch of games in a row, and Daniel Jones is done with an Achilles injury. There's a dearth of good quarterbacks in the league to the point where they pull a 44-year-old Philip Rivers out of retirement and throw him into a game after being there for 3 days. So when I look at the state of the quarterback position around the league, there is not a ton of good ones. There is not a ton that have a lot of upside. I think Jackson Dart is one of those guys that has a ton of upside. And the last thing I want to do is go gamble again and maybe miss. That's why I can't entertain it.
Ben is in Stamford, Connecticut. Good afternoon, Ben.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, Ben?
Good, man. What's up?
Just a quick point. Evan, you must have had a great view of the snowstorm in that glass house you live in.
What does that mean?
It means the Jets fans are the king of anointing quarterbacks. The Sanchez, you guys fell in love with the kid from BYU, with Zach Wilson, mm-hmm. on one throw at his practice. I mean, you guys do this stuff all the time. So give us Giants fans a break, or at least a little chance of a fantasy that we've found our guy, please.
But you just nailed it. I actually appreciate that point, because you're right. And this is why I've said so many times on this radio station that being a diehard fan of a team, while we have all that passion and we truly feel the good and the bad of what a team does, sometimes our opinion on our own team is not as good as the opinion of an independent view. Like, the Pete Alonso thing is a great example, Teak. I'm still losing my mind over it, and Joe will lose his mind over it when he's on at 4 o'clock. And in a weird way, your view of it, or even Sean's view of it, is actually tempered because you don't have the emotions. So I fully understand the way I acted about Mike White. I fully understand the way I felt about Chad Pennington. I fully understand the way I viewed other young quarterbacks along the way. In fact, my biggest life lesson was when Peyton Manning was a free agent. After his surgery and he was leaving Indianapolis, there was a connection to the Jets, but it involved moving on from Mark Sanchez, and I didn't want to do it because mm-hmm. of the emotional connection we had developed with a guy who helped the Jets get to back-to-back AFC championship games. So I fully understand emotions, and that's why what's crazy to me is I didn't even tell you I would trade Jackson Dart. I'm merely telling you I would hire a new GM so we could all evaluate this fairly, and yet it's like a personal attack.
Yeah.
I'm not even telling you to trade him. I'm saying I can't have Joe Shane around because I know he won't.
Hmm. Well, I don't think anybody wants to do that in the Giant organization. I don't think ownership wants to do that. I don't think the pro personnel people want to do that. Hell, I don't think the team wants to do that. Like, there's guys on this team, the Brian Burnses of the world, the Tyrone Tracys, Malik Nabers, etc. The guys that you know are going to be here. This team is going to turn over just like the Jets are going to turn over, just like all the crappy teams in this league are going to turn over. But there's a handful of dudes that are going to be here because they're the stalwarts, right? They're the guys that you're considering your base. None of them want Jackson Dart gone. None of them believe that, hey, maybe we should consider Fernando Mendoza or Ty Simpson or whoever else is Dante Moore. Like, none of them believe that. And so I think it would be a disservice to them, right? To the team, who have already come to believe that Jackson's their future leader, to even think about moving on from him. It wouldn't be fair to him.
Let's go to Ben in Florham Park. What's up, Ben?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I have a question for Tiki about playing out the string, but I just want to make a quick point about the game yesterday. I think this is the first bad game that Dart played, primarily the first half.
Right.
It's actually the first really good game by Abdul Carter. But we want to see both players trend in the right direction. And that's really the only reason to watch these games, right?
I agree.
For
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
How now you're on a team that, you know, with Foss, I was playing out the string. I think you may have 3 or 4 wins.
And right.
You
4-12. That was hard.
How hard is it to get that sync, that vibe out of the building when the new coach comes in and you know, your players are mailing in December? How do you manage that?
It's a good question. It's a good question, Ben, because I still remember it. It's because it's one of the only. I think it was the only like truly crappy season that I had in the decade that I played. I think every other year we were at least 7 wins. Sean can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think it was the one season where we just kind of knew everything was out the door. And the same thing happened that has happened to the Giants over the last couple of years when they've been bad. 22 notwithstanding, we had a ton of injuries, just like the Giants had a ton of injuries. We had third string guys playing on the offensive line, on the defensive side of the ball, and you just felt like there was no chance. And I had this conversation with John Schmelk yesterday on our pregame. I don't necessarily believe in the carryover, right? The carryover works, playing well at the end of the season. It carries over if the coach is going to be the same. Dan Campbell's a perfect example, right? You play well at the end of a season, it carries over into the next season. But it does carry over for the player, like the individual player who you're looking to see take growths and steps, like Abdul Carter. Right, he had his first really impactful elite game yesterday. Now he needs to stack those. One next week against Minnesota, then do it again against the Raiders, and do it again against the Cowboys. And he'll take whatever he's learning and go into next season having a lot more confidence. But it's really hard at this point in the season when you know your team stinks, you know that you don't trust your coaches anymore to put you in position to win games, but you still got to do it for personal pride. Right, and not think about Cancun or whatever vacation you're going to afterwards.
It's harder for us, though, as fans.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Imagine the Giant fans sitting in snowbanks at MetLife Stadium yesterday watching them lose to the Washington Commanders. That is not easy.
And they're not a good team. That's the problem.
No, I know. I mean,
the Commanders were one of the teams you're like, oh, yeah, we can beat them. They've lost 8 in a row. They stink. And they got a backup quarterback. Zach Ertz is done, right? Their defense is 30th in the NFL in both rushing and passing. Of course we're going to dominate. And then you're down 10-0 before you know it.
Let's go to Frankie in Queens. What's up, Frankie?
What's going on, guys? So I have a quick proposition for you. I know that you're a Jets fan.
Yes, and, unfortunately, I am a Jets fan. One of the worst life decisions ever made, yes.
Understood. But as an IFO, right, let's do a hypothetical.
Yes.
If the Giants were willing to trade you guys, Jackson Dart, in return for your 2 picks, what would you say?
Where I'm picking right now, so number 4 and number 17 for Jackson Dart, would I make that trade?
Yes. Would you do that swap?
Yes. Mm. Yes, I would.
Okay. And you're an IFO with no emotional attachment to Jackson Dart.
Well, but hold on, Frankie, the answer is yes. I have no emotional attachment to Jackson Dart, and I would make that trade. I would also make that trade for the number 1 overall pick and select Fernando Mendoza. Mm-hmm. I'd make both trades.
It's interesting with the Jets, because I know what you're getting at, Evan. You know you don't have your quarterback.
Yes.
You're not even close to it, really.
Right.
And where you're picking now, you've moved up to 5th. So you're moving now, picking 5. Unless I mean, unless New Orleans isn't going to try to go up. I think Shuck might be the dude, by the way.
It's possible.
It could be.
We're going to find out when the Jets face the Saints next week, which is a must-watch game.
I think the Jets will work itself out. Like, you'll be in position to draft a quarterback just because you're not winning any more games. So I feel like, but the Jets also know if I can get a sure thing at quarterback, I'll take it.
No, but his point, and I appreciate it, was, hey, you're giving this IFO view on being open-minded to trading Jackson Dart. Hey, I'm going to put you out there as a Jet fan. Would you trade for Jackson Dart? And the answer is yeah. If you're asking me right now, would I move number 5 and number 18? Because that's where the Colts pick. Would I do that for Jackson Dart? Right now, my answer is yes. Would I do that for Fernando Mendoza and the number 1 pick? My answer is yes. I'm saying yes to both deals.
Yeah, because you're desperate.
I am desperate. And here's the one thing I pause on, though, with that desperation. I mentioned earlier there was something I kind of learned watching the full allotment of Jets-Jaguars. And I already knew it, but sometimes you need to watch more and more and it gets ingrained in your head. I now pause a little bit more on saying yes to both of those trades. I'll tell you why. The lack of talent on defense is mind-boggling, Teak.
Yeah,
and it was almost like a slap in the face last week and this week to look at, forget the results. The results suck. We get it. But you look at the individual players and you ask yourself, especially with AZ Thomas out, he didn't play yesterday. Who's going to be here when the Jets are good? Right. And the answer is not a lot of guys. No. And so if the answer is limited, it leads me to say, boy, they really are better off using all of these picks to just get better players as opposed to packaging it together for the dream at a quarterback. Now, push comes to shove, Teak. Am I trading 18 and 5 to get the quarterback? Yes. But the more you watch a game like Jacksonville and the game a week earlier, the more you at least have to take a deep breath and say, wow, we need players, bro.
Yeah, do we want to rush this? Do we want to reconsider getting the quarterback or whatever it is and look at the depth issues that we have? Because even the guys a year ago, Quincy Williams was such a good linebacker for the Jets. You just felt like he had a long future. Would have been him and his brother, stalwarts forever. Obviously, they moved on from Quinnen, and he got the first interception of a Jet all season long playing for the Dallas Cowboys.
You bastard.
I know, my bad. But you saw Quincy, still with the Jets, getting absolutely roasted by Travis Etienne over and over and over again, whether it's a wheel route or whether it's an angle route. He scored 3 touchdowns, 3 receptions, and 73 yards. Like, they look like they didn't care to try, and that's bad.
Let's go to Kevin in Stony Brook. What's up, Kevin?
Yo, guys, how you doing? Listen, I'm Kevin. I'm already in the mood, and I hear this stuff. Jack Dart and trade should not be in the same sense. And the marriage, when they're looking for a coach, and then probably a general manager, first thing freaking marriage is say, so that's not going anywhere. How do you feel about that?
I think that's the wrong approach. Kev, I understand.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, Kev.
I understand you don't want to trade Jackson Dart, but forget that for a second. Put that aside. If you go into an interview process looking for a new head coach, and as the owner of the team, you set down ground rules of how the roster should be constructed, I think you're making a massive mistake. I personally think that is a massive mistake. I think you need to, look, your opinion on who you hire, and I think this is the way Sean phrased it, which I would agree with more, even though I still don't agree with it, could be based on their answers. That is totally fine. Like, hey, I like your game plan for this. I don't like your game plan for that. I'm going to hire this guy. But to sit down a potential coaching candidate and put ground rules down on the roster, are you going to even get the best coaching candidate if that's your game plan?
I'm not sure that any of the candidates are going to look at Jackson Dart and say, yeah, no, I don't want him. I think that they will appreciate who he is. And it's interesting watching the Jets game, because we knew that Liam Cohen was just, he was an odd dude. We all were, from the very first press conference and the Duval scream that he said, it was kind of like, oh, dude, they might be in trouble. But sometimes when he's just authentic, it works. But I think even more importantly, you're seeing this with Ben Johnson, with Caleb Williams. You know, you're seeing it, obviously, with Trevor Lawrence, who's having his best season now with Liam Cohen. I want a head coach, or at the very least, an offensive coordinator like Josh McDaniels with Drake May, who's going to sit and collaborate with his quarterback. right? Not dictate to him what he should do, but sit and collaborate so that he and the quarterback are putting the best product for that quarterback out every single day, right? And so I think there's a nuance to that. And so it's great to have a really good leader as the head coach, but you need somebody who, and I'm not saying Jackson Dart has the power to, you know, veto a head coach, but if it's someone who can't communicate with the most important player on the field, you're going to have problems. I think that's what we're starting to see with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you see it all over this league. Look, think about the success that the Rams have had. Why is that? It's because Sean McVay and Matt Stafford are simpatico, right? They can figure it out together as opposed to just dictating what he's supposed to do.
Now, you have made very clear over the beginning of the show, you do not want to even have a conversation about the idea of using the number one overall pick on a quarterback and trading Jackson Dart.
No.
Even though 3 weeks ago, I put Tiki on the spot and asked him what would cause you to do that, and Tiki gave this answer. Take a listen. So the question is, I'll go as far as it takes. When will one of the three of you break and say, screw it, I'll draft him and trade Jackson Dart?
If he beats Julian Sayin in Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship.
Now, yeah, you know what happened, Evan?
You changed your mind?
Nope. Ryan Day tanked the game.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't want to face Alabama in the second round.
I think
I don't need to win the Big Ten championship.
I just
need to win the national championship.
I think we have all accepted that your view has changed, whether it was Ryan Day tanking or something else. That you have moved back. You've moved the goalpost slightly on when would you just say, screw it, I'm drafting Mendoza and trading Jackson Dart. And I respect that. And I accept your moving of the goalposts. But now I have to ask you the question.
It wouldn't be fair to you if we drafted Fernando Mendoza ever.
Why?
You've pined for him for, I don't know, months now.
I know. I didn't want him.
It would be like having a girlfriend and then taking your potential girlfriend.
Kind of like
how would that feel?
Kind of like what the Mets did to the Yankees with Juan Soto.
No, but you didn't have our girlfriend.
Or the Nets signing Kevin Durant over the Knicks. I mean, this has happened before. My question to you is this. And as you know, and everyone knows, the audio will be saved. What would have to happen over the next 3 weeks for you to say, I have to consider drafting Mendoza and potentially trading Jackson Dart?
Nothing.
What if Jackson Dart got hurt?
I mean, like tearing ACL hurt?
No, I think the concussion protocol thing happening again since he goes into the 10th every single game.
True, but we also saw this with Tua. For a couple of years where he was constantly getting concussed and everybody feared for his safety and career, and he hasn't had one since. So it's a learning process.
Okay.
And by the way, watching that game yesterday, Jackson Dart did all the right things to avoid contact, which was something that I was impressed with.
So no injury, and I want to take away like the catastrophic injury. Like I want to take that away because it's putting something dark into the world.
Yeah, there's too many of those that happened yesterday.
How about what Mendoza does? How about beating Alabama and then beating Texas Tech and then beating Ohio State in a rematch? What if they win the national championship and he's impressive? Could that change your opinion?
No. You know what it would do?
What?
It would make the haul that the Giants are going to get being the number one overall pick because they're so bad this year even that more impressive.
So you are declaring today.
I'm done. I'm stuck on Dart.
Okay.
I'm stuck on Dart.
Okay. That's what I was asking.
I'm stuck on Dart.
And Tiki has learned his lesson. He's not making any offhanded jokes because I'll use it against him.
You're damn right.
Sean.
Because that was straight joke.
That doesn't sound like it when I play the clip.
It doesn't. But it was.
Does it? Does it? Sean.
It does.
All right. Sean,
it sounds like I'm serious.
It does. I know. Sean, is there anything that would change your mind on this?
No, because a funny thing has happened that I've declared yesterday. I think we've learned something about Jackson Dart that's very important. He's not injury prone because they keep throwing him in this blue tent and nothing keeps happening. So I've actually even more committed to him than
that
ever.
That doesn't make him not injury prone.
Six out of his seven trips have resulted in him coming back on the football field.
Everybody keeps throwing that blue tent stat out there. Well, how many actually result in a real injury?
No, I agree with that. I think that's more, and this is where I'll agree with you and a lot of Giant fans, it is clearly a reputation thing now.
Yeah.
And it is obnoxious, and it's a tough challenge that the NFL has because you want to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You've said this before. Sometimes you wonder why guys aren't called off of the field when you could clearly identify that they suffered some kind of head injury.
Yep.
But in the case of Jackson Dart, they are clearly going the other way. But that doesn't prove he isn't injury prone. It just proves that the league right now has a scarlet letter on him.
Yeah, but if you have a concussion problem, wouldn't you be more susceptible every time your head gets hit like this that everybody thought? Clearly, he's not.
No, but no one's saying he has a concussion problem yet. I think it was more, could this become a problem if he plays the game recklessly?
Okay, so I guess my point would be, to me, if you watch Jackson Dart play, there would be only one thing people could argue against him in this rookie year, and that would be, well, he just ended up in the blue tent too much, because everything else on the field has been that special.
The other thing, and I admit I keep this in mind, I try to learn lessons from not just life, I think we should all learn lessons from life, but I learn lessons from old sports opinions, right? So I mentioned earlier in the show, I screwed up as a Jet fan when Peyton Manning was available, and so did Beningo, I think he'll admit it, when we said, we're not interested, we have Mark Sanchez. And clearly, I think at that point where the Jets are and what Sanchez had accomplished, we should have been more ruthless and said, screw it. If Peyton Manning wants to come here, go get the player. So the other lesson I'm learning from, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way because I do kind of forget a little bit on the details, was that after Daniel Jones's rookie season, in which we all liked him, not saying as much as Dart, but we liked him coming out of that Pat Shurmur year, there was links between the New York Giants and Justin Herbert.
Sure.
It existed. And the Giants could have taken Justin Herbert. They did not. They selected Andrew Thomas, which we're all happy with. Wonderful left tackle. That non-decision of saying, you know what, we like DJ, but we like this guy better. Let's face it, as good as Thomas was and is, that was a huge mistake. If Justin Herbert is more of a franchise quarterback than DJ is, so I am trying to learn from that mistake of, well, we just drafted him. He's our guy. We believe in him. As opposed to the ruthless view of, do I like this guy better? And if I do, have the balls to make a move.
Okay, I think there's a big difference between what you're saying between Sanchez. I actually got better examples what the Rams did with Goff, which is, I don't think the right move is to do it after a rookie year. And yes, that was a mistake with Herbert. The wrong move is after 2 or 3 years still hanging on and asking what if.
Yeah, I think you still have questions.
Still have questions. I think 2 years is a good barometer to go, you know what, we're in another position here, take a peg. I think it's silly to do that after 1 year because it could work the other way. You think the Browns don't regret what they've done with Baker Mayfield in the opposite direction? I think there's examples both ways. The rookie year and knowing he's shown that much promise, too early to pull a ripcord after 1 year.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.